11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Welcome along to the Championship edition of the League Podcast, League One and League Two also covered. You can download them at williamhill.com/podcast, audioboo.fm and the72.co.uk. Pete Farris is here with Hello. A winning nap under his belt.
I've already done better than all of last season after week one. very happy indeed. Yeah, the nap, I actually put at the minus one for Middlesbrough on the handicap in the actual podcast, but went for the outright, annoyed that actually that handicap eventually landed Lee.
But safety first.
Safety first, and I've got quite a good little nap this week as well. So, no, I think we're in a good position here, and I'm looking forward to it. We had a good week last week. A couple of ones that didn't land for us, but on the whole, quite a few landing bets, so hopefully people were involved in a few of those.
Sam lost his, I lost mine, so it's minus 10, £19.09, the standings at the moment.
Bring it!
Enjoy it, Pete, because it won't last for long.
You're absolutely right, the gap will get wider.
Leeds versus Middlesbrough is on the TV this Saturday lunchtime, 12:15 kickoff. Leeds United are 11-5, the draw is 11-5, and Middlesbrough are 13-10, as Pete just said, courtesy of Borough. He landed his nap, and a very good start they've had as well. Leeds United, not so good. Went to Millwall, and by all accounts, our colleague on InPlay Radio, Tom, was saying that they were pretty poor, to be honest, and it didn't look particularly good. They have made some signings in the meantime, Pete, but you wonder, don't you? Berardi, obviously red carded since then, so he'll be banned for this match. It's a tough game, this, for Leeds. Interesting to see how Middlesbrough go, though, here. A trip to Elland Road, never easy. I know it's a cliche, but it is never easy. How will Middlesbrough go about this? Will they go for the win?
Yes, absolutely they will. They've had a great start that we mentioned. Kike's been in sensational goal-scoring form straight off the bat. They spent £2.8 million on Kike from Real Murcia, and he's settled incredibly well. They've strengthened further since then. Patrick Bamford, who had a great time with Derby County last season, is, I'm not sure if he's 100% signed, but he's on the way. Lewis Baker from Chelsea's also on the way. It's almost like Aitor Karanka knows someone high up the Chelsea chain, isn't it? also Adam Clayton from Huddersfield have brought in a midfielder who's an exceptionally good player. So they're continuing to strengthen, they're continuing to look strong, and they've not conceded and won both of their games with consummate ease. In fact, a few of the players who played in that game at Oldham in the week aren't really considered first teamers and still played very, very well indeed. Confidence is high when you look at the end of last season in relation to this. So really, for me, you've got to say, well, Middlesbrough are strong. So, can you back Leeds at Elland Road? First home game for Dave Hockaday. First home game for Cellino in terms of the league. Is 11-5 a good enough way to play Leeds? Mm. And I'm afraid I don't think it is. Liam Cooper, I actually know. Obviously, as people know, I cover Chesterfield games. Had a real chat with him in the press room. He was there just to watch Chesterfield on Tuesday night. He's looking forward to the challenge at Leeds. He was, of course, a Leeds fan and is a great signing. I think he's a player with Premier League potential in the future. A left-footed centre-back. He's decent in the air. His anticipation, and I mean it when I say this, is Premiership standard. Right. The guy will anticipate runs and where the ball's going to go as well as any central defender I've seen in the lower leagues in the last 5-6 years. He is absolutely exceptional at that. He's a great signing. Billy Sharp, a man who's had actually in the past very good times against Middlesbrough, is of course now a Leeds player as well. He's a great signing too. So, to be honest with you, Middlesbrough defended superbly against Birmingham. Not a single shot from Birmingham in the game on target. They really struggled to put anything towards the Middlesbrough goal, and they're looking confident. Leeds, they've strengthened well. Of course, Suleiman Doucouré got a brace in the week as well, but they weren't good second half against Accrington Leeds. And when you mix that with their performance against Millwall, I have to say that 13-10 for Middlesbrough looks very good, but there might be an X factor here. The last six meetings between these two sides, there has been six red cards. Now, admittedly, a couple of those were in the same game, but if you're looking generally, two red cards in the last three meetings between these two teams. 15-4 the price for a red card in the game.
That's Yorkshire Derby, of course, that's why.
Well, possibly so. This is as close as Middlesbrough will get to a derby at the moment. Leeds have probably got a couple more in there, but Middlesbrough haven't really. And 13-10 for Middlesbrough is, I think, just about good enough. I worry a little bit about that red card. If it's for Middlesbrough, that could be a real issue for them. But I think Middlesbrough are a play here at 13-10. If they're going to win, I think Kike will score. Kike to score, Middlesbrough to win is 4-1, which is absolutely exceptional. When you think of the form he's been in at the beginning of the season, that is a very, very good looking bet. Indeed. Elsewhere, you could play Billy Sharp. He's not currently in the market. He may well get put in, but he might not feature. Dakara, if you want to back him, he could be an interesting any time nibble for you at 7-4 with his brace. But for me, the three bets, Kike and Borough in the headline offer. It is a headline offer, isn't it?
Yeah.
I almost said match winner there. And then I stopped and thought, no, he's meant to be match winner. I got it all confused from years ago. It's a headline offer.
Yeah. Your brain paused.
There you go. Kike and Borough. I was right. Don't doubt yourself. 4-1. 19-10 any time, which is huge, by the way. Borough win at 13-10. And if you want a little nibble on this, with the stats I gave earlier, red card in a match, yes, at 15-4.
Very nice indeed. Next up, let's have a look at Cardiff. Their home game against Huddersfield Town. Cardiff are 3-4. The draw is 12-5. Huddersfield are priced up at 4-1. Cardiff opened up with a 1-1 draw at Blackburn and then went away to Coventry and beat them 2-1 in the League Cup. So first home game of the season. As for Huddersfield, what a strange start to the season they've had. Smashed to bits by Bournemouth 4-0 at home. Lose your manager. Then go to Chesterfield in the League Cup and win 5-3 in extra time. Naki Wells got a hat-trick in that game, including the goal in extra time, of course, which is a good start for him. Scored 7 in 22 last season, Pete, which wasn't the kind of return that they would have hoped for from him. What do you think of this one then, Huddersfield at Cardiff?
Well, it's mad, isn't it? Both had intriguing cup games in the week, like you said, Lee. Let's start with Cardiff. Made a few changes for their trip to Six Fields to play Coventry. Won the game with a better team. All very solid. Fair enough. They started the season with a 1-1 draw against Blackburn. And if you believe Twitter, it wasn't the most enjoyable game in the world, I've got to say.
I always believe Twitter, mate.
Well, there you go. It's never wrong, is it? No, but also a couple of other reports when you're reading around. It wasn't the greatest game in the world. Tom Kearney, who I absolutely love, the Blackburn player, he had a very good game. But generally speaking, it wasn't a particularly explosive match. Huddersfield, I saw with my own eyes in the week. I was at the Chesterfield Huddersfield game on Tuesday night. Their defence was not good. They couldn't deal with balls being put in. I mean, one of the goals that was scored by Ollie Banks, for example, was just an absolute masterpiece and a great goal, and no defence or keeper is going to stop that.
Yeah.
But they look weak defensively. Once they brought Josh Lolly on, once they had Hamill on, they looked very, very good indeed. They improved markedly, but that defence still looked weak. And Naki Wells got a hat-trick. Well, of course, one of them was a penalty. His other two goals, fair enough. But you felt that it was three mistakes. It was a penalty and two goalkeeping mistakes that got Huddersfield some of their goals.
Right.
And when you look at some of the physicality in that Cardiff front line, for example, a man who's already scored this season in Kenwyn Jones, and if Huddersfield continue to struggle with that ball being played into the centre, that is going to be, I think, a real worry. I've actually had a little nibble on Jones, but I think the best bet in terms of a goal scorer is, unsurprisingly, Naki Wells. He was brilliant. Not just the goals he scored, he was brilliant. He's 21-10 any time. I mean, for a guy who got a hat-trick in the week, again, that's a very, very solid way in. I do think Cardiff win the game. I think Huddersfield have still got some issues to deal with defensively, and I think they've also, of course, got this managerial issue to get over. They weren't great in their opening game, of course. They shipped 4. And with them shipping 4 on their first game, there being 8 goals, admittedly with some extra time, but it was 6 goals at full time if you want to look at it like that. With those goals in that game, I know that Cardiff had unders in their first. I know that they had obviously overs in their game against Coventry. But over 2.5 goals is the better the game for me here, Lee.
Yeah, that's good.
It's even money. Now, that even money for me is absolutely exceptional when you look at how Huddersfield have been scoring, predominantly conceding. I mean, you look at 2 games, they've conceded a total of 7 goals.
Mm.
And even money for over 2.5 looks good. If I had to choose an outright winner, it would be Cardiff, but that overs is the best bet for me.
Yeah, it does look good, actually. Blackpool versus Blackburn next. 4-1 Poole, 12-5 the draw, and 25-1 the draw. It's a new enhanced price. 12-5 the draw, and Burn 3-4. Interesting times at Blackpool. Obviously, I put them up in the nap last week, and it was an idiotic thing to do. I think we're all agreeing on that. Lost 2-0 in the end, but by all accounts, reading reports and hearing reports, that they had a good old go in the second half. We're 2-0 down in 30 minutes, then went to Shrewsbury and lost as well. Doesn't look good, does it, to be fair? Blackburn opened up with a 1-1 draw against Cardiff, and a 1-0 defeat to Scunthorpe. I'm never sure how much clubs are that bothered about losing in the first round in the League Cup. I think you either go out in the first round or you want to have a run, don't you? It's one of those things where you just think, oh, whatever. But neither team has got a win on the board yet. Blackburn at 3-4. Despite Blackpool's problems, is it a little bit short?
Well, you add in, of course, the proximity of these two sides, and there's maybe more argument for it being too short, but I've backed it at 3-4. And actually, as part of my sixfold with William Hill, it's actually one of those bets in there. The 3-4 is very good. For Blackpool, two away games and two losses. This, of course, is their first game at home. One was a loss to a decent side in Forest, of course. The other was a League 2 Shrewsbury win. They continue to bring players in. Francois Jocko, the next man through the door. But there are still reports of a real lack of confidence at the club, a real lack of, obviously, players feeling safe at the moment. Yes, their place is probably safe because there's no one to come in and replace them. But the club, generally speaking, is in a bit of a limbo situation. And actually, during the week, they also got an injury to Jacob Mellis as well. Yes, I appreciate these are local rivals. Yes, I appreciate Blackburn drew their opening game and, of course, lost to Scunthorpe in the week as well. But that was a Scunthorpe side that Gary Bowyer put 10 changes out against. So he made 10 changes for that game. And then he actually said the players who'd come in, he was actually quite critical. The phrase he said was, they've missed their opportunity. So he was obviously trying to look at a few of these lads to come into the first team and be choices. But he said that phrase, they missed their opportunity. So he's got, of course, a lot of players he can bring back in. The other thing was that, of course, there were reports last week that quite a few Blackburn players weren't very well. A bit of an illness. Right. Well, I think sweeping is probably a little bit too broad a word, but there was certainly a real problem behind the scenes with quite a few of them being ill.
Mm.
So they're apparently all over that now. Everyone's back to full fitness. They're back to strength. They're back to full health. The only worry I've maybe got, Blackburn haven't won at Blackpool since 2010. If you're a head-to-head punter, that could be a real issue. And I do tend to err towards head-to-heads a little more in this kind of game, in local rival kind of game. Oh, well, generally, I should say, local rival kind of game. But I find it hard to back any kind of pro-Blackpool market at the moment. Because even if they're bringing a lot of players quickly, which they may well do, it's about gelling them, it's about organising them, it's about getting momentum and team spirit in there. And Mr. Rieger's got a big, big issue with doing that, I think, in terms of how hard it's going to be. He's a good manager, did really well with Charlton last season, and he can, in terms of quality, do it. But it's just about how long it takes. And at the moment, that 3-4 is a good enough price.
Yeah, fair enough. Next up, let's have a look at another B derby. Birmingham versus Brighton. 9-5, the price for Birmingham. The draw is 11-5 and Brighton is 6-4. And the start so far then, well, Birmingham with the losers at Middlesbrough, of course, losing 2-0. And then went and beat Cambridge 3-1 after extra time. So a long old night. On Tuesday, as for Brighton, lost on the opening day to Sheffield Wednesday, which was a bit of a shock. There was a red card for Andrew Crofts, and they never quite got back after that. Brighton then beat Cheltenham Town 2-0 in the week in the League Cup. Took them till quite late, though, Pete. They didn't score the first one till there was about 10 minutes left, and then added the second on the whistle almost. So not the most convincing from Brighton, and of course lost Will Buckley as well this week, haven't they, to the Premier League? Yeah. Tricky one to call this. Why do you pick this one?
I picked this one because I thought the draw was a really good way in, actually. There's a few interesting ways in if you look at this. Birmingham will be without Gavin Gunning. They've only just brought him in and he's going to be out for a long time with a quite serious injury. They did get a very good win against Cambridge. Got to give them credit for that. And people like Clayton Donaldson, Duffy came on and looked very good. So they have managed to get a few players getting in there and looking in form. Probably no more so than Davis, who they've brought in from Wolves. And he looked very, very good. Brighton, of course... Well, they played a lot of the match with 10 men in the league, which they lost, of course. Andrew Croft sent off. He'll be out for, I think, 3 games. They had the relatively solid win against Cheltenham that you've, of course, mentioned was quite late on. And that £2.5 million loss of Will Buckley. I presume Luar Luar will probably come and replace Buckley. And he's a good player, but until he's replaced, that is still a real hurt for Brighton. I just see these teams cancelling each other out. I think if you look at this, sometimes when you're a punter, you look at a game and you go, has just got draw written all over it. And I think that's exactly the case. St Andrews has been both a fortress and a dinner table for opponents in the last couple of years. It can go one of two ways under Lee Clark, and one or two ways for the last couple of years. Sammy Herpier, I think, will identify this game as maybe a game they can win, but I just wonder a little bit about where their goals come from in this game too. So in the end, I plumped with a draw, Lee, and just thought that it was probably too big a price at 11-5 to ignore.
Fairdoos. Bournemouth versus Brentford next. What's with the B thing? Borough, Blackpool, Blackburn, Birmingham.
Well, yeah, but
Borough's
Middlesbrough, isn't
Brentford.
It?
Yeah. All right, maybe I was a bit of poetic license in that one.
But if you actually look at the first letter of teams in the Championship, the second half of the alphabet doesn't come into it until quite late on.
Yeah, true, yeah. Bournemouth then, 5-6, 12-5 the draw, and Brentford priced up at 7-2. A great start for Bournemouth. 4-0 winners at Huddersfield, went to Exeter, won 2-0 there as well. So very happy times there, and on they go. Callum Wilson got a couple of goals as well for Bournemouth. Started scoring in the first minute and stopped in about the 64th when the job was done. And then we talk about Brentford, who drew 1-1 on the opening day of the Championship season.
A game that could have had 12 goals.
Oh, man. I mean, it was crazy. We had it on in play, and yeah, it was just end-to-end. It was mad. We couldn't believe it was 0-0 for so long.
Yeah.
And then midweek...
That has 12 goals, isn't it?
6-6. 6-6. Started scoring in the 5th minute, ended the scoring in the 117th, and then won on penalties. I mean, a long old night, Pete. You know, whatever you say, Brentford playing at Dagenham, and now they've got Bournemouth, who scored loads of goals. How does this not have goals in it? Tell me that.
It does have goals in it. Right, okay, it's as simple as that, really. I watched when I got back from Leighton Orient on Saturday night. I sat down and I got in just as the Football League show started, and I sat down and I watched it. And that was one of the main games, and I just thought, how is there not... Bars were hit, of course. Tommy Smith came in and scored pretty late, the substitute. He might not be fully fit for this game, by the way. And both him and Yanaris are both struggling for full fitness. But you look at it and you say, well... I can't see how it's not overs in terms of this match. We had 12 in the week. We had a game that had 2 in it that should have had about 44. Bournemouth bagged, of course, 4 against Huddersfield the other day. And over 2.5 goals in the match is 10-11.
I'll get it.
So it's a really, really strong bet. But I think you can take the extra leap here.
Yeah.
I've got Bournemouth and over 2.5 goals at 7-4. Mark Warburton said he was embarrassed by his side's performance. That was the word, embarrassed by his side's performance in that game against Dagenham and Redbridge. Of course, last time out, the man who scored, Tommy Smith, might not be fit, nor might Nico Yanaris, who I've mentioned a moment ago. And look at how Bournemouth have started. 4 goals against Huddersfield opening day, including one after less than a minute. They then change all 11 players for their cup game and win that. And at the moment, and certainly if you think about what kind of a job... I'll stop doing that Scatman thing now. If you look at what kind of a job Eddie Howe has done at Bournemouth, it is phenomenal. Because he was doing a solid, average job at Burnley. But he's gone back to Bournemouth, close to his family again, and he's doing an unbelievable job once more. He really is. They are doing so well. He's been savvy in the transfer market. Callum Wilson, of course, is a great purchase. But I also like the Bournemouth double result here at 2-1. Brentford could have been down early in their opening game. They conceded 2 in the first half in the week. Of course, they scored a few in the first half as well, to be fair. And Bournemouth have clearly been set up by Eddie Howe. And he's said as such to try and get at teams early, to really go at teams early on. And I think the Bournemouth double result at 2s is great. The best bet for me is the over 2.5 at 10-11. But I like Bournemouth and over 2.5 goals at 7-4 as well.
Bolton versus Bottingham Forest. 17-10 Bolton, 21-10 the draw, and Forest are 17-10. Well, Bolton started off with a 3-0 defeat at Watford, something predicted by our colleague Mark Wilson on Twitter before it even started, and he even said that Deeney and Vidra would both score. He didn't get it wrong. He thought there'd be more goals in the second half, but he even put up Watford to win the second half. This is the Bolton commentator. He got it right. They did get a result in the end in the League Cup in the midweek, beating Bury in extra time, 3-2. As for Forest, started with a 2-0 win against Blackpool and then went away to Tranmere and won 1-0. They brought in a defensive midfielder this week as well, so they continue to strengthen a player from Hamburg who played in the second team at Hamburg.
Tesha.
Yeah, played a lot of second team football last year, but still strengthening.
Good player,
strengthening
Tesha.
In a kind of defensive way, not conceding goals and still trying to make the team more solid. You can see what Pearce is trying to do. What about Bolton then? 17-10, 21-10. It's not a pick 'em, this, is it?
I don't think it is, no. I really like Dougie Friedman, and I think the job he's done under the constraints financially that he's had to be under at Bolton is actually quite decent. You think back to, of course, a couple of years ago, it was just the final day of the season, they didn't get into the playoffs, and I think he's done a good job.
Yeah.
But from the sounds of rumblings at the club, from rumblings at the, of the fans during a very poor performance against Bury, and it was apparently a very, very poor performance against Bury, it kind of sadly feels like it's maybe coming to an end for Dougie Freeman. I hope not, because I really like him and I think he can do a great job, as evidenced at Palace, and to be fair, as evidenced at Bolton.
Yeah.
But I think it's just becoming, for me anyway, toward maybe the end of that. They've played very poorly twice. Poor against Watford, poor against Bury. Forest have been pretty ruthless. They've looked very, very solid. They've been confident. They've been hard-working. They've been strong into tackles. It's almost like their manager, Stuart Pearce, in terms of his style of when he was a player anyway. No Man Cien, he's, of course, suspended. But, I mean, when your own fans are joining in with Bury fans, chanting you're getting sacked in the morning...
Not good, is it?
The feeling around the club's not phenomenal. He has reverted to a bit of a 4-4-2. I'm not convinced, even with, you know, Jermaine Beckford, who's a good striker, I'm not convinced they've got the goals in there to see themselves through. They chased Jukovic for a long time, of course, at Bury. He's now at Burnley from Middlesbrough. And that didn't work out. And I just worry about the goals. And the other day, we were very strong on a Forest win. Of course, so too were the traders. Blackpool were 10-1 in that game.
Biggest price we've ever seen?
Well, certainly amongst
them,
yeah.
Anyway, in the Championship, that is.
Certainly amongst them, yeah. It's huge. Couple of bets for you in terms of goal scorers. Really like Mikhail Antonio anytime at 14-5. Has bagged twice already this season. 14-5 anytime is a very, very solid piece of business for me. Henry Lansbury had a really good time against Bolton last season. Is 16-5 anytime if you want to play him. So I really like the look of that too. But ultimately, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, Bolton fans, about Dougie Freedman, because I do like him and I do rate him. But I think Forest at 17-10. I think you put it perfectly, Lee. This isn't a pick'em.
It doesn't look it to me now. Naps then, as I mentioned at the start, we're doing a nap with Sam Ashu from the 72.co.uk. He's gone with Bristol City to win both halves at 3-1.
Right, okay, yeah. I think they're in for a very good season, Bristol City. Good opening day win against Sheffield United, of course. A good side.
You see what I'm doing here, Pete, by the way? I'm actually doing the naps on my phone, because I've always got a phone with me.
Yeah.
So I'm never going to forget my phone, am I?
It's not going to carry on. I've known you for
almost five years.
This isn't going to carry on.
I'm doing it right here. I'm doing it.
Wow, you're doing it now is nothing. Doing it in 6 weeks when...
You are going to eat those words.
Well, I hope I do, because then at least we'll know the naps table.
Shut up.
Well, there is a few.
I'm waiting to get what you go, because I'm going to nick one of yours.
17-10 Forest is big. I mean, I'm not chosen. It is big. The overs in the Bournemouth game is definitely big. And again, I looked at Middlesbrough and thought, well, with the way Leeds are looking at the moment, they have to be the play. But actually, I'm going to play over 2.5 goals in the Cardiff-Huddersfield game as my nap at even money.
Yeah, that was good.
Like I say, Huddersfield had a lot of time, of course, played 120 minutes in the week against Chesterfield. They did look quite tired at the end of that. It's not too big a... in terms of that, the extra time played is not too big a factor at the moment as it would be in 4 or 5 months' time.
No.
But it certainly is going to make a bit of a mark, I think. It's a long trip, Huddersfield to Cardiff. Cardiff, I think, are a very good side. I've already had one of their two go-overs. If you're looking at it purely statistically, Huddersfield have had both of theirs go over 2.5 by a country mile. Defensively, they looked weak, but they did look quite dangerous up front with Naki Wells. So over 2.5 goals in the Cardiff-Huddersfield game would be my nap of the week.
Very good. And the one that Pete just mentioned, I don't see why the Bournemouth-Brentford game should be 10-11 for over 2.5. I mean, I'm really tempted to go bigger than that, I must admit. But, you know, as I'm already minus 10, I'm not going to. I'm going to stick with that. I think it's a cracking bet for all the reasons that Pete mentioned. There's obviously goals galore in their games. Saw Brentford with on the TV and they were attacking. So over 2.5 goals in Bournemouth versus Brentford is 10-11. A reminder, Sam's was Bristol City to win both halves at 3-1. Thank you very much, Pete.
Cheers, guys. Thank you. Good luck to you and good luck to Sam.
Yeah, and good luck to you as well.
What a cordial way to end the podcast.
Kind of.
I hate you.
If you're having a bet on any of the Championship, League One or League Two matches this weekend, then very best of luck. You can download the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. You can subscribe to iTunes. You can go to audioboo.fm or you can go to the 72.co.uk. Thank you very much for listening and good luck with your bets.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.